news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins. Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one iron glove blow sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, it is Sunday. Hope you can hear
Sunday,
me.
Sunday.
We're here for another episode of What Are You Reading comic book show.
And
we want the show to be good, so we need your help.
Yes.
We want you to join us.
Yes, and there are numerous ways in which you lovely people can join us. One way is to pull out your telephones and call the number 215-253-4516. The more you call, the more this number gets called, the longer we can hold on to it, and we really need to hold on to this number, people. I'm going to be honest. Another way you could join us is by coming on Skype. Add the contact Silver Surfer, one word, underscore forever. And that'll help out a lot, too. Another way, you can type out your thoughts by going to www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live. And do not forget, if you cannot listen live, Rant all the fine programming on Rant Radio, such as the Rant Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Call-In Show and Deluxe Entertainment Podcast, and of course, where the Reading Comic Book Show can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Blog Talk Radio. You can subscribe to us on any of those. Rate 5 stars on iTunes and leave us a review. It'll really help out a lot.
Don't forget Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait, we're on Zoom now?
Well, I get my stuff through Zoom.
Who still uses Zoom?
I got a Zoom.
I do, too. But that was handed to me because it's like I cannot afford. Okay, you know what? I can't should talk that now since I've admitted it. Okay, yes, you can also go to us through Zoom if you're one of the 15 remaining people having
Zoom.
Zoom
works until it doesn't work anymore. I'll use it. Okay.
No, I'm the same way. You can join me, Surfer, and the other 15 people who still have a Zoom.
And we are kicking off a pay-per-view weekend here on Rant EM Radio.
WWE Battleground.
Which pre-game will start at 7 p.m. But anyway, forget all that.
Yeah, that's wrestling. We ain't here to deal with that.
That's other stuff. This stuff.
Comic stuff.
Yeah, important stuff. Stuff to make the world go round. Stuff that people care about. You know, if we can just get Putin and Obama and Biden and Biden and all those in Congress, get them together at a convention, things would just work themselves out. Get them at a comic book convention, anime convention.
Well, yeah, no,
we don't want those. We don't want those old men at anime conventions. They wouldn't know what to.
I do. I want to film their reaction. You know, even better yet, let's take them to DashCon. You know DashCon, that terrible. Oh my God. Tumblr's you read about this, right? DashCon.
What is DashCon?
Okay, you know Tumblr, right? Social media network.
Yeah,
right?
Tumblr. Yeah. I've heard something. Did we talk about this already?
No, we talked about it off air a little bit last week, but like more stuff has come out about how what a clusterfuck that was. Cause it's like they couldn't raise enough adequate funds. They tried to pull off a stunt where it's like they tried to get $17,000 to help. boosted up, reservations were lost, and even the talents, like the Welcome to Night Vale, they were set to appear there.
Mm-hmm.
And they really couldn't afford their appearance fee or book them a room, so they had to walk out of the convention. They walked out. And also, there is a rumor that there was a live BDSM panel demonstration, and that someone got crabs from it.
Crabs? Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, also,
Alaskan crabs or Maine? Or from Maine?
These are not the crabs you want to put on a lobster dinner along with steak. I'll just say that. And also, they were like holding screenings. Like, you know how you gotta get like pay vendor rights or something if you want to screen something like Jurassic Park at a convention and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were publicly acknowledging, like, we're going to be screening Pacific Rim. It's like, oh, shit, we didn't pay the vendors.
Okay.
No, seriously, people, go search Tumblr, do a Dash Con tag, because I know they do hashtags on there. My God, reading about Dash Con is like reading a social experiment gone totally wrong, except I don't know what the purpose of the experiment was, because God damn, it's so... Oh, wait, and there's incidents involving a ball pit. Now, that's all I'll say. And apparently they're going to try and hold another one next year in Indiana.
Well, you know, maybe they get everything worked out, and next year things will go smoother. I mean...
Yeah, you know, again, you know, not every convention. I mean, let's think about it. We got San Diego Comic-Con coming up. That probably didn't start on the best of terms, but look at it now. Well, it's one of the biggest attractions every year.
See, Jordan, you can't say that because San Diego used to be a little fella way back. You know, one of the reasons why San Diego's so big is because, you know, they was doing conventions back in the 70s. I mean, it was just comics, nothing else, just comic books. Nice little small convention. And somebody got the bright idea to take their little mega blockbuster movie there and show it off. Some bearded guy who likes to go out in a far, far away galaxy. And then it just sprung from there. So the huge mega event you have now, it grew over time. But when it was just a small regular comic book convention, that wasn't hard to do. But anyway. I would ask you how you doing, but you used up all your how you doing time.
I'm doing fine. There, I got nothing really else to report except I'm doing fine. I read comics. There are some I really liked, and go read comics. They're awesome.
Well, let's look at some box office numbers.
Okay, we still got some relevancy with box office.
My faith in humanity has come back. Because Dawn of the Planet of the Apes did a two-peat. It is number one again for the second weekend in a row, bringing in $36 million, bringing its domestic gross up to $138 million. Still got ways to go to catch the budget of $170 million, but you add in that overseas money and it's doing $240 million. So you know. Planes, Fires, and Rescue, that's not for us. But Transformers, that came in fifth place. Another $10 million. It's total $227 million. I think it's in the top five or six for the year.
So you're...
I'm tired of beating my head over that movie.
Okay, so you're not going to go out and just randomly beat the fuck out of people now, right? Because of this?
No, I mean, look.
Good.
Okay. I understand the Transformer concept is what's making this movie money. See, I believe it's a foolproof franchise. Now, some people may think it's Michael Bay or the actors. It is Transformers. Okay, you make a Transformer, people are gonna come out and see it. If you take a dog pile and scope it into Optimus Prime, people will come see it. So anyway.
Yeah, but People need to have some more brain cells.
How to Train Your Dragon came in 8th place, 3.8 million. It totals up to 160 million domestic.
Excellent.
Maleficent, another 3 million for 228 million domestic. And one of the movies I like, I don't care what anybody else say, Earth to Echo, holding in at 10. 3 million, total is 31 million. It had only a budget of 13 million, so it's a success.
Yeah, in that terms, yes.
You know, you know, for a moment it looked like The Purge was going to be number one, but it did not beat out Ape, so.
Even if it starred Punisher?
You mean Crossbones, not Punisher.
I haven't even seen The Purge Anarchy. I really have no interest. But
you know,
even seeing him as Crossbones, I think Frank Grillo could make a pretty fucking awesome Punisher.
Yes, but I hear people like to label movies as the Punisher movie. But you know what? If they took that movie and called it the Punisher, people would criticize it. Just like A Man on Fire. I hear people say that's a Punisher movie.
It kind of is the best Punisher movie.
But if you made a Punisher movie where he had to protect a little girl, people would hate it. So
I think it's just more so in the terms of the character, honestly, and how the character acts, and so on. I mean, look, I'll fully admit, I unashamedly love Punisher Warzone. I don't give a shit. That movie's awesome to me. That's as close as we're going to get to like a very strict, dead-on Punisher adaptation right now at the moment. And I think Ray Stevenson makes for a much better Punisher than Thomas Jane, because he actually looks the part.
Had that nice little short Punisher.
I'll admit, Laundry Day is all kinds of awesome. And I like Thomas Jane in that. For me, when I was watching, I was like, where the hell was this in your Punisher movie? Instead, you had to look like a damn GQ model, and you had to go up against John Travolta? Really?
Oh, come on now. John Travolta is pure evil. Anyway.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he's a Scientologist, maybe.
And he messes up people's names, too.
Oh, that's right. That sick bastard. We ought to, like, beat the fuck out of him.
I know you want to talk about this sad news, and I thought maybe he didn't relate, but then I looked him up, and I see where he does relate. But, we want to bow our heads down because old Maverick himself, Jim Gardner, has passed away.
Yep.
James. I mean, not Jim Gardner. Jim Rockford. I meant to say Jim Rockford.
Yes, Maverick himself.
Jim Rockford. Yeah, James Gardner.
Legendary actor James Gardner did pass away this morning at the age of 86.
Yes, I grew up watching the Rockford Files. And didn't watch Maverick.
Oh, well, that's going to be a weird like parallel, because I grew up watching a lot of Maverick reruns.
But how he relates to us is he was in the Superman Shazam cartoon as the voice of Shazam.
Yes, he was. And I've seen Rockford Files too. Rockford Files is cool, but I prefer Maverick because that was one of my first.
He was in Battle for Terror, so
yeah, that was also And he's also done numerous great movies, like The Great Escape, Grand Prix, Victor Victoria, and Murphy's Romance. And I gotta admit, even though
that's comic book stuff. I mean, he's done some great movies, but. Anyway.
My deepest sympathies to the Gardner family. Yeah, he was a great goddamn talent.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll rest well wherever he's at.
Yeah.
Up in cowboy heaven or detective or dick heaven.
Rest in peace, Maverick.
So where do we start as far as the news go?
As news, you don't want to get to Cora real quick?
Oh, no. Cora?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, The Legend of Cora, I got to ask you. How many episodes is in this season?
All right, so far,
13. No. How many we've seen?
Oh, okay. How many's in the season? 13 total.
Because they're blowing through this. Showing two a week.
Remember, there was an accidental leak on Nick Mundo's site of some of the early animation and somewhat. And I think that's what sped up the premiere, because it's like, we get 3 episodes for the premiere, and then take a week off, because it's the 4th of July. And then they're going at 2 episodes at a time. I agree they're going through it, but you know what?
I mean, we're already up to episode 7?
Yeah, we're 6 episodes left. And you know, I would normally complain about this, but I'm really loving this season a lot. So I'm
liking it. I want to see the whole thing before I make a decision. Because there's a few plot points going on at the same time. One is the mergers of new airbenders, right?
Which I'm loving.
Which, of course, you know, now Tenzin, you know, he feels the pressure of rebuilding the Air Nation, which he's messing up big time, because he's trying to make everybody into nomads instead of just coming at it at a new point of view. It's like these people, they didn't, you know, it's one thing when you teach them from kids to be air nomads, but you got grown adults who's got families and lives and
just
sitting home chilling, and now expect them to just be meditating monks sitting up in a mountain all day long with no comforts. And he's going about it wrong. And then you got this the group of special benders who wants to kill the Avatar, but they haven't really said why. And you know, they need to expand on that a little bit more as to why does this group of 4 people think that the Avatar needs to die? Well, I mean, what the Avatar ever did to them? It's not like Aang did something to them and threw them in jail and they want to get revenge. I mean, apparently, when they discovered that Korra was the Avatar, they came after her. And they got stopped, but now they want to kill her. So they have to expand on that a little bit more. Because that's apparently the real danger. And then you got the Earth Queen, who somebody needs to kick her in her ass. I mean, she's just a spoiled, rich brat who's just ruining the Earth Nation. Any thoughts on that before I go on?
I'm liking this season. I mean, yeah, Tencent's going about in a bit of a wrong way, but I think the latest 2 episodes have really shaped his character up for this season, because he does learn how to be a better leader about this with Jenora and Bomi.
And then, of course, you know, Chief Beifong and her little
oh my god, I love
thing with her
on.
Sister.
Oh my god, I love
by Anne Heche.
Oh my god, I love what is going on with Chief Beifong. Those past 2 episodes with her with her family and her sister with the Middlebenders, outstanding episodes. Those are some of my favorites of the entire Avatar universe, and Last Airbender.
I didn't know Toph grew up to be so tall when she became an adult, because she was she was such a little fella as a child. And then when they showed her as an adult, it's like, she was really pretty tall for you know. But I wonder if she's going to show up, because they didn't say she died, and apparently she's roaming the earth in search of enlightenment, so she could show up at some point again. And we know Zuko's still alive. It seemed like everybody's alive except for Aang, of course, who would make sense that he passed on, because he was more than 160 years old when he died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm really liking it. And again, those last 2 episodes with the metal bending, spectacular episodes. Mm-hmm. Just really, really fantastic, great stuff. But that was Korra. I'm looking forward to seeing how it's ending. But we got a shit ton of news.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, Okay, first off, we got some TV news. More DC TV talk, if you can believe that. these first two relate to the Flash. One is that the Flash and Arrow will have a crossover event this year. Episode 8 of both shows will be a crossover event.
Brave and the Bold episode.
Yep, and also in episode 4, Felicity Smoke, played by Emily Bette Ricards from Arrow, will be popping up on Flash.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah, no, it does, given the connection she and Barry made when he popped up on Arrow. That's good.
We could get a little cat fight between her and Iris.
No, I do not see that, because that would be kind of stupid.
I'm not talking about really fighting, but
yeah, I know what you mean. I don't want a love triangle.
You think they're gonna throw a little shade? No.
No, I think so. No, I don't think that really fit. That's just me personally. Well, you know, but
it's like from what I've seen, and we won't get into it. I know you want to.
What?
Like Iris, not thinking about Barry, but Felicity showing up may change your mind.
Oh, maybe. That could be something. That would be interesting for Iris. You guys like, oh shit, maybe he's not that. I'd possibly see him as. That would be fine. Just don't make it an outright love triangle. I mean, I don't think that's really... Well,
Felicity's not going to be on the show a lot, so...
No, I know. But you could tell, it's like in the Clock King episode, there was still tension because she was still visiting Barry. When I was like, oh, please tell me you're not going to do a love triangle where the second guy cannot even be there.
Okay, any other TV news?
Yeah, Flash has casted a key member of the Rogues Gallery. Wentworth Miller of Prison Break fame is playing Leonard Snart, a.k.a. Captain Cold.
Wentworth.
Well, yeah, I said Wentworth.
I know, I'm just saying. Like that's the kind of name you think of as a lawyer.
J. Peter Wentworth. That's totally
right. Now, we've had the first episode was supposed to have
Weather Wizard,
right? Now, is everybody gonna have powers because of the particle accelerator?
Or? It appears so. Maybe we don't know if they're gonna go with the with Captain Cold having the cold gun, or if he's gonna have powers like in New 52. We don't know that yet.
Okay. Any other Flash news?
No, not really, but we got a lot of Gotham news.
Okay, Gotham. Let's move on to, let's move down the road to Gotham.
Moving right along. Reports have come out that that Joker will somewhat be involved on the Batman prequel series. But it's not going to be one. Gotham is actually going to be teasing several Joker.
Okay.
Several stills have been released, and one showed actor John Bravris playing a stand-up comedian in Fish Mooney, played by Jada Pinkett Smith's nightclub. It turns out, Gotham will be presenting a possible new Joker in multiple episodes of the first season, leading to a mystery of sorts.
Let's not try to use this show to
shoehorn in
characters that relates to Batman.
No, I agree, but there's one more bit.
And it's not a Batman show.
Each possible Joker character revealed will possess one of the Joker's signature features. Reportedly, there will be a card shark, a flower seller, an actual clown, and some guy with just a very big grin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm actually looking forward to Gotham, but that sounds kind of stupid. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah. But new stills have also, as I said, new stills have come out, which also show more of the cast and some more of the locations from Entertainment Weekly. Like, we see more of Robin Lord Taylor. We see Sean Pertwee as Alfred behind the scenes. We get our first look at Wayne Manor, which looks very Wayne Manor-ish. And just recently
Now, this show is being filmed in New York, correct?
Yes, it
is. Not like Arrow and Flash, where everything's filmed in Canada.
Vancouver, yes.
It's American-made, damn it.
Get over yourself.
America.
Recently in Beverly Hills at the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour, showrunner Bruno Heller has today they presented, they said, like, quote, you have to front load the pilot with the best that you've got. You have to open big. What they're referring to is like Gotham. He's promising an abundance of villain and possibly a superhero. That's not Batman.
Yes, so what superhero could be in Gotham before Batman? Are we talking Wildcat?
Here's what Heller said.
Quote, somebody from the Justice Society, probably.
I was about to quote. If there is a superhero on the show, it's the city of Gotham. It's a larger-than-life character. Heroes are more interesting than superheroes. Superheroes do the impossible in drama. Is really about the physically possible. This is about people and people trying to overcome real problems as opposed to trying to learn to fly. It appears he's not worried about Batman's absence. That'll drive fans crazy. He says the really interesting parts of these stories is the origin stories. Mm-hmm. This is all about how these people got here. So, yeah, I mean, there's also reports like the pilot. There's like it features flip phones and 70s cars. It's a apparently a mashup of modern and past. I guess we won't fully know until the pilot comes out in September.
Yeah, of course I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That it?
No, it's not it. Come on.
No, I mean as far as the TV news.
TV news. Seth Rogen has teased a familiar opening tune for Preacher. Because last week, Seth Rogen, of course, took Twitter to show like they are planning out the Preacher pilot, and that apparently it'll open with Willie Nelson's Town with a Preacher, much like the comic did.
I was looking forward to Preacher. I don't know if Seth Rogen is the person to helm that. I don't know.
Yeah, plenty of people are feeling that. But, that is all I got as far as TV. We got to talk about
I got some Marvel news.
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to.
Well, I got the Marvel news.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Changes are coming. First off, those who are worthy, if you are deemed worthy, and you can pick up Mjolnir, you can carry the mantle of Thor. And apparently, Thor will now be a woman, because the current Thor will become unworthy, like he's done in the past and will again in the future. And so someone else will have to carry Mjolnir and become Thor. And they haven't said who this woman's going to be yet, but this change is coming. Now, I know in the Earth X series, Thor was a woman, but yeah. Odin changed Thor into a woman.
Because Odin was like, fuck it, why not?
No. He, you know, from time to time, Odin wants to teach Thor lessons in humility.
I get that. I was just joking around.
And in that alternate reality, he turned him into a woman Of course, Loki's been a woman.
Well, yeah.
And a hot woman at that, too.
Yeah, he took over Sif's body.
And he's not the only Avenger who's going to change, because Captain America no longer going to be able to pick up his mighty shield. He's going to get, as he's saving the day, he's going to get whacked and lose all his super soldier formula and age rapidly to an old man. So now there'll have to be a new person take up the mantle of Captain America, and that person will be Sam Wilson, the Falcon.
Yep, Sam. And there has been some reactions to this.
Yeah, because people hate. But who's going to take the Falcon's place?
That is a good question.
The only person who can take his place is none other than Stephen Colbert.
Of course.
No, just kidding. But Joker Sider did show up on the Colbert Report, and, you know, Colbert was saying he should be Captain America because he already has the shield, and he's like, no, it's going to be Sam Wilson. But they do need a Falcon, and they did show an image of him as the Falcon, so who knows? But I get the feeling that all these changes will snap back to normal come April of next year, just before a certain mega conquer the world blockbuster comes out.
Before time runs out. Oh, you mean a movie. maybe. I mean, Marvel does like to Marvel does like to keep their comics somewhat tied
together. I think Iron Man's going to change too. So I think all the big
three. Well, yeah, there's an announcement of the Superior Iron Man.
All the big three is going to be different, going from this fall up until probably April, May, when Avengers 2 come out. Of course, everything will snap back to normal, so that when people go in looking for comic books, they won't get confused and won't say, why is the old woman? Why is Captain America black?
There's also been some Iron Man changes, because there's going to be a new title, The Superior Iron Man, as it said. Because Axis is coming up, and apparently this will be a result of what happens from Axis, as well as a new Avengers team, it seems, with Angela, Lady Four, Sam Wilson, Cap, Winter Soldier, there's a fire guy I'm not quite familiar with, my bad, Ant-Man, whose identity is not revealed at that moment, so it could be him or Lang.
Well,
Deathlok, Doctor Strange, and Scarlet Witch.
I think there might be a new team spiraling out of, not maybe Avengers, but some kind of team may come out of the results of Original Sin, which, have you been following it?
Again, I'm waiting until it's over to read it all.
You know, the concept is a good concept, but from what I'm reading, everything I've read in 6 issues could have took place in 3. But they're dragging the story out. Okay, so the Watcher gets his dome capped, right? You know, and if you're capable of killing a Watcher, you're dangerous. So Cap goes to Nick Fury and says, I want you to investigate. So he's like, well, I need to pick the people I want. So he picks a bunch of odd assortment, teams them up, sends them to these different places where they're finding more murders. But they're like, something's not right here. And they all come to the same conclusion. They're being lied to by Nick Fury. Of course,
Because he does that.
When Bucky realized it first, he kind of abandons his partners, which was Moon Knight and Gamora, blows up Moon Knight's ship, leaves them stranded on a dead planet, goes and chops off Nick Fury's head. And, of course, it turns out it is a life model decoy. But he uses the head to track Nick Fury to a satellite. And then everybody else ends up at the satellite because they're like, what the hell is going on here? Only to find out... I'm sorry, this is spoilers. I should have said that in the beginning. Only to find out that Nick Fury's old. Super old.
Oh, shit.
And, of course, they explain to him what he's been doing all this time, that he's been keeping the Earth safe when nobody else knew he was doing it. And but his infinity formula has run out, and now he started to age rapidly. So the last issue, they started explaining how it wasn't but a few weeks ago he was the way that you've seen Nick Fury. He just started aging rapidly. Like, every day he's waking up a little bit older. And he knows he's dying because he looks up and there's the watch. He's just staring at him, just like, ha-ha, I'm here to watch you croak. So apparently, he capped the Watcher in his dome just to get these group of people together so he can convince one or some of them to take his place before he dies. And of course, you know, the Watcher's eyes has the secrets of the Earth, and the orb can make it so that people's darkest sins are revealed. And Nick Fury's been trying to do this, but he can't get it to work. And then you got Dr. Midas, who's wants these eyes too, for whatever reason, because he's evil. And the Avengers, they're like, oh, we're sick of this shit. We're sick of Nick Fury. We're coming after him. Because Cap, all he knows is, I'm good, you're bad, and I gotta take you down. But Nick Fury's not going down without a fight. And this last issue just proved that this story's just being dragged out just so we can have 8 issues instead of 4. Because they spent the whole time asking Nick, who killed the Watcher? Oh, well, who killed the Watcher?
If this event does not end with a Clue-like ending, I would be so disappointed.
Give me a Clue-like.
Okay, you know, the movie Clue, where it's like, this is how this is how it should have happened.
No. It's Nick Fury shot the Watcher. There's no doubt about it.
Well, now that I already know, because you fucking
The man has had gamma bullets, right? He can kill anybody. He can kill Thor with him. He can kill the Hulk with these things, okay?
You know, I will just fuck with you about the spoiler. I know it's all about the destination, but still, would have liked that mystery.
And yet, here's the thing. I still don't know what the original sin is. What was the first sin?
Masturbation.
Nah, that was not the original sin.
I will also say masturbation is not a sin. It's awesome. Try it.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's called original sin. What is the original sin?
I don't know.
I'm not explaining that.
Well, maybe if you find out, give a spoiler warning so I can mute the damn mic.
Oh, and of course, this is all set up to get rid of old white Nick Fury from the Marvel Universe.
Because we need young, hip, black Nick Fury, because Samuel Jackson.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Did I miss something here?
Hold on,
I'm on Skype.
No, but we do have a listener in the chat room. It is our own William Morgan of the Wrestling Call-In Show. And also Nobody. And Double A.
I think Steve tried to call in.
Hey, come on, chime in, guys.
Let's see what he wants.
Hello?
I'm here. So what else you got for me?
Oh, plenty. Because, let's see. There is news of Star Wars Legacies.
Okay.
I mean, it's a Star Wars Rebels. Jason Isaacs is confirmed as its villain in the new upcoming Disney animated series.
Yeah, okay. Is he in a movie too?
No.
No, okay.
Steve, yeah.
Hold on, Steve, you on the line?
Hello.
Yes. Hello, Steve Arone.
Steve Arone.
Hey, Joe.
I have not heard from you in a while. How the hell have you been?
I thought I was fired a long time ago.
Yes, but I get to fire you every time I hear your voice. So,
hey Steve, thanks for the job, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I got nothing to do.
You tried to call in a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I did twice. What's up? I'm good.
No, I mean, what do you want to talk about?
Let's see. I think you guys were talking about the changes in Marvel's.
Yeah, we've talked about those.
Tell us what you think.
I mean, it's obviously a cash grab, but at the same time, I'm in the middle because...
Won't grab my cash, but go ahead.
For Thor, since the writer's still writing it, Jason Aaron's still writing it.
Yeah, well, that's the only...
That's the only reason why I'm still getting it, because if it's any other writer, I don't think I'll be buying that book.
What? Yeah, it does feel like a publicity stunt cash grab, but you know, just because it's that doesn't mean there can't be some great entertaining story.
No,
listen, Jason Aaron, he's been writing an amazing Thor.
Yeah, no, Thor God of Thunder is also great. I would also recommend, if you're in a Jason Aaron mood, pick up his new Image creator-owned series, Sovereign Bastards. Oh my god, I love that book.
Right, that's just Jason Aaron's just dragging out this particular crossover event. And it's probably because Marvel told him to.
Yeah, most likely. That's what I'm afraid of. Because I know it's Marvel. I guess maybe it's Marvel that say, hey, we need a female Thor, and you have to change quite a lot.
Like everything that you see revealed in, like, the second, fourth, and sixth issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything could have been condensed. Everything that happened in the first two issues could have been in one story, one issue, and so on. You know, by the end of issue one, you would have found out the orb has one of the eyes. By the end of issue two, you'd have found out that Nick Fury is old. By the end of issue three, you'd have found out, well, I'm going out with a bang. But instead, it's being dragged out. So it's kind of watered down for a good concept story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
As for the Captain America, I'm not sure about that one either.
Sam Wilson, capable person of carrying the shield.
Yeah, I guess. Because that... I would have liked it if the Patriot was Captain America. You know the book Red, White, and Black? The black
Captain America. He stopped.
No, he stopped.
You're talking from Young Avengers, right?
Young Avengers.
Yeah, he stopped. He stopped.
For those who may not know, Steve is referring to the miniseries Troop, Red, White, and Black.
Yeah, he decided after the whole Children Crusades, like, look, I don't want to do this no more.
Okay. Who got time for that?
Okay, fine. We'll see how it goes. I think Rick Remender's still writing this.
Yes, it is still going to be Rick Remender.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned Star Wars. I got some Star Wars news.
Oh, yeah, what you got?
Marvel is going to make the original Star Wars run that they did back in the day into an omnibus.
Okay.
Uh oh, somebody's calling me.
What the heck?
Talk amongst yourselves.
There's one more piece of TV news I forgot to mention. Steve, you still there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Alright, good. You a Daredevil fan?
Yes, I am.
Good, because I'm about to say fuck you if you were. I'm good.
Hey, man, I am a reader without fear.
That is good. I also hope you're reading Daredevil, which is still Marvel's best book. Quote me on that, bitch.
It's not my favorite run, but it's good. It's pretty damn good.
I don't know what that was about. I'm sorry.
I was about to get to the news, but I forgot about the TV news. True Blood, Deborah and Wall.
Let me finish this real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, when the original Star Wars came out, of course, they did the adaptation. And then, of course, they expanded on the story until Empire came out and then Return of the Jedi. And they wrote Star Wars until, of course, they lost the license to Dark Horse. But now that, you know, Disney owns Marvel and Disney owns Star Wars. Star Wars has come back home to Marvel. So now they get to reprint all the original stories into one big omnibus. And I think a lot of people will be interested. You know, it's funny when those original Star Wars adaptations was done, they was coming out before the movie hit the theater. So I knew like the end of each of Return and Empire before I saw the movie because I had the comic book.
Nice.
And
you too, Mr. Fancy.
I'm trying to see. Okay, so they're gonna reprint issues 1-44 and the first annual from the 77 Marvel Comics series, set to be released early next year.
Didn't that book like lasted up to 100 issues?
Something like that. It was written by Roy Thomas, Howard Chaykin, Archie Goodwin, Joe Duffy, Chris Claremont. It was penciled by Howard Chaykin, Carmine Infantino, Walter Simons, Herb Trimpe, Michael Golden, Al Williamson, and Mike Vosburgh. Each copy will also be wrapped in a cover by Howard Chaykin and Greg Hildenbrand.
Nice.
So how much is this?
That sounds way more entertaining than the big damn Sin City that just came out.
It's probably going to be what, $100?
Most likely.
Still worth it.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, most yeah.
You hear the word omnibus, that means it's going to cost a lot.
No, it will. But some of those omnibuses, they're worth it.
And what news you was about to tell us before?
There's a TV news that slipped my mind. True Blood actress Deborah Ann Woll has been cast in Marvel's Daredevil in the significant role of Karen Page. Karen Page, for those who may not know, is one of Matt Murdock's many love interests, which means her life was kind of shit afterwards. Coming into the heroin, selling out Matt's identity, becoming a porn star, cleaning up, but then, you know, getting...
Yeah, he likes those naughty girls, don't he?
And getting offed by Bullseye. Yeah, there's two things... Okay, look. There's two... If you're a comic book character, there's two things you should not do. One, do not be friends with John Constantine. It's dangerous to your health. Two, don't date Matt Murdock. That, too, is very dangerous to your health.
You could have him represent you in court, but...
Yeah, just do not... Look, if you feel compelled to have sex with Matt Murdock, make it a one-night stand. Do not get into a committed relationship with him. I love Matt. Daryl's become an absolute favorite of mine. I've always loved him, but over the past few years, he's become an absolute must-see favorite for me. Do not date him. It's going to end badly. But I am a True Blood fan, even though I'm not as enthusiastic about the show as I used to be. I like the casting choice. I think Deborah Ann Woll is a fantastic actress who worked well with what she was given on that show, and I think she's going to make a very damn fine Karen Page on the upcoming Marvel Netflix series, which is filming right now.
Yeah, I don't watch True Blood, but...
Yeah, I don't recommend True Blood past season 3, kind of, because that's where... Even though that show's become like I don't give a fuck show, where it's like, yeah, it's stupid, but I kind of enjoy myself watching it, even though I should feel bad about it because it's gotten really stupid.
Okay, I want to talk about a young actress who's stars just constantly on the rise.
You talking about Chloe Moretz?
Chloe Grace Moretz, get her name right.
Okay, sorry.
CGM.
Chloe Grace Moretz. What about about CGM?
This talented young actress is going to star in a Studio Ghibli and a Japanese animated film, Tales of the Princess. What's it? Kaguya.
Yeah.
And I'm in Studio Ghibli. That's all you got to tell me. Hayao Miyazaki. Studios behind this project. I looked at the video of the Japanese version, And I don't need to know any more. Chloe Grace is going to voice the main character. So, sign me up.
Yep. I do have some Marvel news. We got...
Speaking of Marvel news, before you go on.
Yeah?
They're coming to town this weekend. And it's doing the same weekend as Comic-Con. It's just, I'm just torn.
What are you talking about?
The Marvel Universe Live is coming to town here.
Oh.
They've been on tour now for the summer. And they're coming to Philadelphia. And I really want to go. I want to see stunts and motorcycles and people crashing through fake walls. And so what's your news?
Okay. Well, I feel like we gotta get this out of the way. Kevin Feige has opened up about the Ant-Man incident.
Ooh, that Kevin, led Kevin Feige?
Yeah, Kevin Feige. I've heard it both ways.
No, it's Feige.
Okay, Feige. Okay, my bad. about what caused Edgar Wright to leave the Ant-Man project. Yeah. It was at a recent press event in London for the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy film. And Feige has had this to say. The Marvel movies are very collaborative. I think they're more collaborative than what he had been used to. And I totally respect that. The notion that Marvel was scared, the Vision was too good, too far out for Marvel, is not true. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I think our movies speak to that. Go look at Iron Man 3. Go look at The Winter Soldier. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy later this month. It would have to be really out there to be too... It would have to be too... It would have to be too really out there to be too out there, Ben. Peyton is... It's in the best shape it's ever been in right now, the script. The Peyton is going to do a tremendous job. And the cast is tremendously dedicated. And the script is getting off to... It's getting into a made shape. You wouldn't expect a producer to say anything different, but when that movie comes out, it'll be the absolute best version of Ant-Man that could have existed. And he also had, the biggest disappointment for me is just a relationship, because I like Edgar very, very much, and we were very close for many, many years, but the perception that the big evil studio was too scared at the outside-the-box creative vision is just not the case.
Yeah, I mean, so, like Marvel know what they're doing, so. I know there's a lot of Edgar Wright fans that think you can do no wrong, but you do got to work within the confines of what Marvel's trying to do here. I mean, until they mess up.
Notion that it's just all studio panhandling, it's just like, that's. They wanted to work with them. They just, you know, they just couldn't get on even kill ground. Another thing is that, man, Marvel's Cinematic Universe has now expanded into 2019.
I know, they've come out with more dates. What are the dates?
All right, the new dates that have come out for new films, July 28th and November 3rd, 2017, July 6th and November 2nd, 2018, and May 3rd, 2019.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure out what's going to be May 3rd, 2019.
Yeah, Dazzler movie! Finally!
Yeah, okay.
Woo! Are you telling me you don't want a Dazzler movie? You are a lying son of a bitch.
Dazzler. Is that an X-Men movie?
No, it wouldn't be an X-Men movie because they don't do X-Men movies.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be Avengers 3.
Well, apparently Marvel's been in a very giftful sharing mood before San Diego Comic-Con's happened, because after this I got, because first official set photos from, because the first official photos from Avengers Age of Ultron have been released, and many plot details have come out about the film, more so about, Ultron.
Okay, we're listening.
Yeah, and Robert Downey Jr. had this to say. What you said about says, like, the downside of self-sacrifice is that is that if you make it back, you've been out there on the spit, and you've turned a couple times and you feel a little burnt, traumatized. And it seems, for better or worse, that Tony Stark, for the way Ultron comes to be, is that Tony Stark devises a plan that won't require him to put on the Iron Man suit anymore and should allow Captain America, Thor, Black Widow, Hawkeye, and the Hulk to get some much-needed rest and relaxation. His solution is to build Ultron, a self-aware, self-teaching, artificial intelligence bot designed to help assess threats and direct Stark's Iron Legion drones to battle evildoers instead. The only problem? Ultron lacks the human touch, and his superior intellect quickly determines that life on Earth would go a lot smoother if he just got rid of public enemy number one, human beings.
Yeah, humans have a way of getting in the damn way all the time.
Yeah, and I know there have been fans that have had issues like, God, why isn't Hank Pym doing this?
Because they haven't introduced Hank Pym.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I like this idea. I like how they're setting up how Ultron gets built by Tony. That, to me, that's fine. The way they set that up, I like it.
And what about the Vision, though?
There is no word on Vision yet.
I mean, no, the Vision's going to be in it.
No, we know that. Yeah, Paul Bettany's been cast as the Vision. We know. But there's nothing about the Vision in the photos or in any plot details that are in it.
So, is the Vision going to be Jarvis, or he going to be a totally new...
They have not said. They haven't said anything Bentley's about...
Bentley's been voicing Jarvis the whole time.
Well, yeah. Well, again, I don't know what to tell you, because I don't know what to tell you, because they have not released any plot... The only plot details they've released is about Ultron. That's it.
It's so obvious.
It's obvious. Okay.
Okay. All right, Mr. Smarty Pants.
What's so obvious about it? Let's hear your theories.
Don't you be fucking vague about that. You're on the line now.
Jarvis is a division.
Well, that okay. Shit. That's not obvious. That's like okay.
I kind of agree with Steve there. So.
Oh my god. That's what people have been saying ever since that casting was made.
Well, I mean, he's been doing the voice of Jarvis the whole time. Now he's gonna voice the Vision. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of voice he's gonna do, because it might not be the same voice.
Maybe that is true.
Might have some auto tune.
There are two last news stories to quickly get to. DC has damn, where did that news story go? It just up and disappeared on me. You stupid Facebook. I'm gonna punch. Oh, here we go. First details have been released about the Aquaman-centric DC animated film, Justice League, Throne of Atlantis. And Aquaman will be voiced by Matt Lanter.
Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
Star of the CW's 90210 and Star-Crossed, as well as the voice of Anakin Skywalker on Star Wars.
What happened to Jason Momoa?
This is animated. Animated.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
Yes, it does. It's still Aquaman.
I'm confused.
Surfer, do we need to have another talk again?
Yes.
I'll talk to you off air, because it'll be embarrassing to reveal how your intelligence on here.
So when is this anime movie coming out?
Early next year.
Oh,
it'll
what?
It'll be released on DVD, Blu-ray, digital download, and on-demand early next year.
So what's coming out before it?
Sword on Arkham.
Yeah, Assault on Arkham coming out.
Didn't you see the video for the beginning of Assault on Arkham?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have released the opening scene involving Riddler, Amanda Waller, and Batman.
I think that's based on the game.
That's my Amanda Waller too.
It's based in the game universe, but it's not based on any of the games specifically.
They got the sexy Amanda Waller in there.
Okay, big bone.
Yeah, more cushion.
The last story. Alan Moore has been calling for a boycott of the upcoming Hercules film. Well, what sets us apart is that apparently it is based upon a Hercules story written by legendary comic book writer Steve Moore. No relation between Alan and Steve.
And so what's Alan Moore's problem? People forgot about him or something? He wanted to remind people he's still out there?
No, this is not him being pissed off about his work. This is him being pissed off about a close friend's work, because Steve Moore's has written the Phanagarian Wars and Knights of Kush, which is the basis for the upcoming Hercules film, written for Radical Comics, and Steve Moore asked his name not be used in the promotion, because apparently he might not have been happy, and that his name is still being used. He's not really happy about it, that they would disrespect the what.
So why do Alan Moore gotta tell people to hate? What the Rock ever do to him?
I don't know. Maybe he's shit in his Fruit Loops, or didn't believe in his snake god, or his snake god Vishnu, or he's just not really happy about. He's not really happy that his friends can't make him dick over. What?
He's never happy. But anyway, we're running out of time. What other news we got?
Well, I think that's it. I was going to talk about Batman Endgame, but that would take up a bit. So, Scott, so there was details released about Scott Snyder's upcoming Batman arc after 0 Year finally wraps up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. I like this story myself, but I am ready for it to fucking end.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am.
He's been writing 0 Year for a year now, right?
Yeah, officially
a year.
He had to stop for the crossovers, right?
Yeah, but no, it did not stop because it was in a different timeline. It was in a time period.
Batman book 0 Year stopped during Forever Evil, correct?
It started before Forever Evil.
No, I'm saying during Forever Evil, it got put on hold.
For one month because of the Villains Month issues.
Well, still, it got put on hold.
Yeah, for like one issue because of a tie-in that took place in a different time, in a different period of time.
Oh, that was the tie-in to the Batman Eternal issue.
Yeah. Okay, as I was about to say, this one will take. Batman Eternal is the weekly series that's going on right now, and launching in October, Batman Endgame will actually be taking place after the events of the weekly series. When, even though Eternal is still very much into its run, and will not end until March 2015.
Hmm. Confusing.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, with Batman 34 is going to be it's going to be a slowdown. It's actually going to take place in the current time, reacting to the events of Eternal, co-written by Gary Duggan. That'll catch up readers up on the status quo, and you know, give a little preview of what's going to happen when Gary Duggan starts writing Arkham Manor in October as well. So,
Robbie's coming back.
Yes, they have started the Return of Damian Wayne with Robin Raises Omega one-shot, which I thought was excellent, except in a couple parts, because it's like, DC really does not know what the fuck to do with its own continuity. And the opening recap is a bit long for my taste.
So we have to wait for Alpha coming out later this year?
Robin Rises Alpha is slated to release in December. And that's all the news I got.
Okay, let me go through what I got. Marvel Universe, Flash, Arrow, yep, we hit that. Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's see.
Got a screen for that.
Michael B. Jordan calls Fantastic Four not your typical superhero film. Yeah, that's why nobody's interested in it. Too bad, too. We all like Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, Alan Moore, he's crazy. Did you tell us the Star Wars casting from the Doctor Who alum?
No, we did not get to that.
You know about it?
You talk about it.
All right, let me pull up the article.
I just went on about Batman, so hey, it seems right you go on about Star Wars.
Okay. Of course, my browser is slowing down. Thanks, Internet Explorer. Okay, British actress Christina Chong has been cast to play an unspecific role in the upcoming... Hold up, sorry. I had it and I lost it. Seventh episode of Star Wars franchise. Of course, everybody gets cast in an unspecific role at this point. Which, you know... You can get excited over nothing if you want, but I need some results. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we get pictures of nothing. We get cast updates of nobody. What was that?
Sorry.
Batman DVD's news, the release date, you talked about that?
Of Assault on Arkham?
No, the 60s TV show.
Oh, yeah, we got to that last week. The official series is coming out in November.
Okay, I'm just going over and making sure we... what about... You know, I've been trying to get a copy of Entertainment Weekly now. I can't find it anywhere in the news. There. Nobody sells Entertainment Weekly anymore.
Don't have it online.
Yeah, but I want a physical copy to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a Comic-Con issue. Got the Avengers on there. Hopefully, I'll find one tomorrow. It's not funny. Talk about the end game, right? What's the deal about Norman Reedus and Dijon Huntsman and Robert Kirkman?
They're in a movie written by Robert Kirkman.
Right. So talk about it. You don't know anything about it.
It's called Air.
Okay. That's all you know?
Okay. It's directed by Christian Canta Mesa. I'm just reading it now because I didn't read it when you passed it. It's set to be released in spring next year.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's about Hansun and Reedus, who have been awoken from their sleeping tanks for their two-hour shift, which occurs every 6 months, in a decommissioned missile silo.
Oh, man. Does that mean that Norman Reedus is going to die on Walking Dead?
I don't know. I doubt that.
Wait.
Because I think once he dies, I think it's going to be an open revolt on that TV show.
Oh, is it called
Air? I don't know if he's... Yeah, the movie is called Air.
Oh, is it a movie? I thought it was a TV show.
No, movie. Robert Kirkman written movie.
Could be interesting.
And, of course, what about the Doctor Who characters look like Mass Effect characters? You know,
we did not get to that.
You see that?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. There are some, okay, yeah, people.
You can talk about Michelle Grimm.
I expected you to talk about Grimm because I'm not a fan of Grimm.
You should be if you want to keep your job. Grimm is turning to Orange is the New Black co-star. Weston to catch Weston Stewart's killer. Who's Weston Stewart? I forgot who Weston Stewart.
On Orange is the New Black.
No, on Grimm.
Oh, I don't.
So many plot threads going on in Grimm that, you know. Elizabeth Rodriguez is going to be on the fourth season of Grimm as a. Oh man, I should have read this.
As who?
She's gonna play Dana's mom on. Forget it. I'm tired, and we need to wrap this up. So let's talk about all the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio.
Yes.
Starting at 7 p.m. for Battleground pregame show and postgame show. 7 o'clock for the pregame, 11 p.m. following WWE Battleground postgame, hosted by Double A and all the other people that like to call in and give Double A a hard time. And, of course, he'll be back on Tuesday for the rant, where he'll go all the news and all the wrestling events and all Raw. And then Wednesday's Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Dave. They go over classic wrestling, talk about some news too. This coming Thursday. Now, Double A claims this is his anniversary show, but I'm not buying it. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not afraid of Double A, but I'm going to tell you why. You see, every year he's talking about there's an anniversary show. Okay? How can you have an anniversary every year? I mean, when does the anniversary stop? Every year there's an anniversary? Really?
But sir, he's going to have big... We are really going to need to have a talk off the air.
He's going to have big surprises this Thursday. Okay? And, of course, you can listen. He's going to play a rant episode from every year he's been on the air. I believe that's starting tomorrow. So, tune into the feed. You want to hear the classic rant episodes. Okay? But you heard it from me here first. I can't believe he's having an anniversary every year. That makes no sense to me. It doesn't compute. Okay?
You don't compute sometimes.
I compute. I make sense. Anyway.
Bitch.
Saturday night. Saturday night is a wrestling calling show with William Morgan and his sidekick Rage. And he let talk about anything had to do with wrestling. But the big event happening this week, San Diego Comic-Con, and we're going to be on top of it, starting at Friday, 9 p.m., me and Jordan. Steve, you're fired, but you can call in too if you're willing to work hard.
So we're not doing all 4 days?
No, because somebody's having an anniversary again. After they just had one last year around this time, you know, having another anniversary. Every year, anniversary. Oh, did I miss a call? Hold on.
I'll be done because I got two things I want to say.
But tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. is the marathon. And it's all day long for the classic rant episodes. Thanks, Double A, for sending me that message. Okay, Saturday night, we're coming back again at 9 p.m. And we're going to go with day three. See, Friday night, we're going to cover day one and two. Saturday night, we're going to cover day three. Sunday, we're going to come on a little bit later than 5 p.m. Because at 5 p.m. Eastern, nothing's going to be out as far as the news for Comic-Con for Sunday. So we'll probably hit the airways at 8-ish, 7-ish, 8-ish. But we got to work that out with Double A.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up all the happening news for Comic-Con. Of course, everybody's going to be paying close attention, and there'll be video leaks from different panels, and people will be standing in line from Hall H, and somebody's going to get run over. And there's no more Twilight at Comic-Con, people. So the people used to ruin Comic-Con because of Twilight. You don't have to worry about them no more, okay?
Oh, come on. Comic-Con's a time where you could go and just celebrate your fandom. Twilight, as much as I do not like Twilight, they are allowed to celebrate their fandom at Comic-Con.
Oh, real quick, I saw a Zach Braff movie last
week. Oh, yeah, Wish You Were Here? How was that?
I was entertained by it, but the guy playing his brother, I can't think of his name.
Josh Gad?
Yeah, okay. He's supposed to be this genius that just doesn't do anything with his life. But he gets inspired to make a costume for Comic-Con because his neighbor, she's like into furry creatures, and she's going to Comic-Con. So he builds up a little space outfit, And there's a scene where he just comes in with a whole battalion of space cadets behind him, and he's leading the charge. And everybody just parts out of the way, because this guy's coming through with like a whole battalion of space creatures. And it was kind of funny. And of course, it got him with his neighbor afterwards, because she was impressed. Even though she thought he was no good before that, she was impressed by his willingness to build a costume. So all you cosplayers out there got a chance to score if your costume is good. We got a call. I think William Morgan. Yes.
It's Will. What's up, man?
What's up?
Chilling, man. Chilling. What are you guys talking about? I thought I had to take a phone call, and I'm just coming back to the show. What are you guys talking about now?
We were about to go off the air, to be honest. I was just going over all the previews. And, of course, you know, okay. I was complaining because I can't understand how every year AA has an anniversary. How can one anniversary? Every year there's an anniversary with AA. And that makes no sense to me.
Hey, what the fuck? I got put on hold. God damn it, William.
That's Skype.
God damn it,
no,
William.
That's Skype. It seems like you start adding people.
I'll play William, because I'm an American. I'm going to play someone else. How you doing?
Nobody put you on hold on purpose. Skype has been acting up. I need to try to contact them.
Well, how you doing, William?
What's up, man? What's going on, Jordan? Go ahead, man.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to get ready to make an announcement, if Surfer would allow me to.
It depends on announcement.
No, it's about in a couple weeks.
Go ahead, make the announcement.
Okay, yes. In a couple weeks, people, we will be interviewing live on the air Cullen Bond. Cullen Bond is the creator and writer of the Oni Press comic book, The Sixth Gun, which is coming to an end. He is also the current writer of DC's Sinestro ongoing book, and Marvel's Magneto. We got Cullen Bunn live on the air to interview and to take your questions as well in a couple weeks. The first week after Comic-Con, he will be here on the air.
If you want to email, the email is silversurfer_lives@yahoo.com.
Yes,
if you got a question you want answered.
You may also
emails me, but hey.
You may also email me your questions at joewoco89@gmail.com.
Or so, you can Twitter us your questions too.
At Joe Oco, JOWOCO.
And my Twitter.
Hey, Surfer.
Yes.
You were mentioning Scarlet Witch earlier. What's going on with Scarlet Witch? I love Scarlet Witch.
I don't think we really mentioned Scarlet Witch.
I heard in the chat earlier.
She's going to be in the Avengers movie, and she's going to be on the new Avengers team that's coming up soon.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what you were talking about. Okay. So I'm just getting on, and I've been in and out. I did want to call in and say what's up.
Oh, well, you know, we'd love to have you call in at 5 o'clock when it's too early for everybody else to call in. You can call in, but I'm done beating that horse over the head. We got to get out the air so AA can get ready to Battleground.
So we could say, this is my website. Get the fuck out of here. But
you know, AA, what'd you say? There we go, next Sunday.
Yep, next Sunday. Oh, and also I wanna
five PM is gonna be a rebroadcast of Saturday night and Friday night, and then I guess we'll come on the air and recap all of Comic-Con, and wish I was going, but hey.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to try to actually use to get a press pass with Rant in a couple of years.
We can get a press pass. It's just a question of going out there and having the hotel.
No, that is true, too.
And food.
That is true. I'm not naive to that, but, you know, we could work something out, hopefully. We could do like our own fundraiser or something.
Yeah, so our...
Give us money so we can go drink and party in San Diego. So, yeah, I think that's a good approach.
Yeah, make sure you bow your heads down for James Gardner, because he passed on.
Rest in peace, Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick. Rockerfiles, all that stuff. All right, everybody, let's say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Steve, say good night. I forget Steve. All right, everybody. Peace.